So the beginning of the Haggadah is Holach Ma'anya, and at the end of that paragraph we say Hashtahacha, now we are here, meaning we're outside of the land of Israel, because this particular paragraph was written in the vernacular in Bavel in Aramaic, because this was written during the Golus period when the Jews were outside of the land. So now we're here, but Lashana Bavi Arad Yisrael. Next year, Mitzvah Hashem, we hope that Mashiach will come and it'll bring us all back to Eretz Yisrael. That's how we open the Haggadah. And the closing of the Haggadah at the end of Nirtzah is Lashana Habav Yerushalayim. So it's very interesting that both at the beginning of the Haggadah we speak about the ultimate redemption, and the closing of the Haggadah is also about the ultimate redemption. And we're going to take a look at a sefer called Shaila Torah, and he points out that we have a principle which is formulated in the Gemara Brachos called Me'ein HaChasima, that the psicha and the chasima, there should be a certain similarity, almost a parallelism between the way we start a bracha or start a mitzvah or even start our study and the way we end it. The ending should always be similar to the beginning. It should be me'ein ha-psicha. For example, the Gemara says that David HaMelech, when he wrote Tehillim, so when he wanted to indicate that a particular chapter was beloved to him, he would open it up with the word Ashrei, and he would close it with the word Ashrei. And that closure indicates a certain special, you know, it's like brackets, you know, you open the brackets, you close the brackets, but the opening and the closure should be very similar, mirror image of each other. That indicates that you have a whole entity. We find this, for example, in the Gemara in Sota, in a famous drasha of Simloi, that the Torah at the very beginning of Bereishis speaks about the Gemilus Chasodim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the great compassion that God had. And it says there, Vayas Hashem Elokim li'odom uli ishto kusnos or vayal bishem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created clothing for Adam and Chava, which is called kusnas or, and he dressed them up. And at the end of the Torah says, Vayikbar oso begai. Do you remember who was buried at Gai?
Moshe Rabbeinu.
And who buried him?
HaKadosh Baruch
Hu himself. So the Torah begins with Chesed and ends with Chesed. So our Haggadah begins with Eretz Yisrael and the future, and ends with Eretz Yisrael in the future. That's called the Shana Ba Birushalayim. Many people have the custom to start dancing at the end of the Haggadah when they get to Lashana Ba Birushalayim. Now we're going to take a look now at a sefer called the Sharei Ora, which is a book that's written by one of the contemporaries who's very much influenced by the what's called the Brisker Derech, you know, the Soloveitchik family. He starts by saying that if you take a look at the Yud Gimel Ikrim, you know, we have what's called Ani Mamin, and that's a rephrasing of the 13 principles of the faith. And in the Ani Mamin, if you'll take a look at number 16, he points out that there's something strange that's going on. We say, in the 12th of the 13 Ikrim, we say, Ani Mamin be'emuna shleim, I have a total faith, be'vias ha-mashiach, v'afal pishi yismamea, even though he seems to be delaying, he hasn't shown up yet, and that makes it very difficult for us to really believe that Mashiach is coming. Like, where's he been for all this time, right? Im kol zeh, but nevertheless, achakalo b'chol yom sheyavo. I will nevertheless wait on a daily basis that he will arrive. So in the Sefer Sharei Ora, he quotes the Griz, which is Rav Yitzchak Zev HaLevi Soloveitchik, that was my Rebbe's uncle, who asks the following question. He says, if you take a look at the Ani Mamins, you will notice that there's something strange about the one about Mashiach. And the one about Mashiach that we just read now is fundamentally different in its structure, in its formulation, than all the others. Because there's a V'afal Pishi Yismameh, as if to say, you know, even though he hasn't come yet, and he seems to be foot-tracking, he's dilly-dallying, Im kol zeachaka lo b'chol yom shiyom. Nevertheless, I'm waiting on a daily basis. It's almost as if we ask the question, you know, like, why isn't the Mashiach here? And that seems to be a fact or a reality that undermines our belief in Mashiach. And then we give an answer. No, we're still committed to his coming. So hu b'derech she'ela u'tshuva. So we're going to turn now to page 2. We'll come back to page 1 in just a minute. And that even though I don't understand why he's not here yet, and that's my question, the Afal Pi very often introduces a question, nevertheless, I believe that he's going to come. So the Brisker Rav says, where do we find in the Ikri Adas, in the Animamins that present and formulate the belief, the fundamentals of our belief, where do we find such a question and an answer? We don't find it anywhere. For example, there's one of the Yud Gimel Ikrims that we believe with a full absolute faith that God is a Gomel Tov L'Shomer Mitzvosav, that he bestows good on those who observe his law, Umanish, and he punishes those who violate his law. He says, why don't we ask a question? We don't see that God is necessarily punishing the evildoers, nor is he bestowing gifts and rewards upon those who fulfill his mitzvahs. He's im kol zeh, but nevertheless, we believe, we have perfect faith that God is the God of justice, and he'll definitely bestow good on those who deserve, and the opposite, the retribution on those who violate his will. Or, for example, we have one of the animamins that we believe that God is not physical, he has no body, he's not similar to a body. We should have added the afal pi, even though it says in the Torah, v'tachas raglov, as if to say God has a physical body, or it says Yad Hashem, or Eini Hashem, or Ozne Hashem. There are many phrases throughout that seem to attribute a physical corporeal element to God, but we should say, "Lo datan dibra Torah b'datan shel bnei Adam," that the Torah uses phrases just to convey a certain message the way we can understand it, but really it's not to be taken literally, as the Rambam goes into great detail at the beginning of Hilchus Yisod HaTorah. To make a long story short, we don't find in the Animamins that we start with a question, or we introduce in the middle of the Animamin a question and we give an answer. All we want to know is to formulate the Ikrei Adas, you know, the fundamental principles of our faith. What are we obligated to believe and what are we not obligated to believe? So why is it that in this case of Bias HaMashiach, we find an exception to the rule? We ask a question and we give an answer. So in order to explain this, the Brisker Rav says that this is not a question and an answer at all. In other words, we're very consistent here. We don't have questions, we don't have answers. But rather, what we want to clarify is exactly what is included in this principle of faith, this tenet of the faith. And based on the Rambam, he's going to prove that our belief has two dimensions to it. It's not just a belief that the Mashiach will come, but it's a commitment to wait for the Mashiach. Where does he see this in the Rambam? So this is in Perek Yud Aleph, Mehilchas Molochim, which you'll see down on the bottom right. You'll see a copy of the Rambam. The Rambam says, HaMelech HaMashiach Osid Lamod Ulahachzir Malchus Beis David LeYoshna. The Rambam tells you what the Mashiach is going to accomplish. He's going to reestablish the kingship of Beis David. He's going to establish a sovereign Jewish rulership over the land of Israel. He's going to build the Beis HaMikdash. He's going to be Maccabi Tzidcha Yisrael, gather together the people of Israel from all the diaspora. And he's going to bring back Korbanos and Shemitah and Yovel. The Rambam has a whole long list of what's going to happen when Mashiach comes. Then he writes, this is the key line, V'chol misha eino mamin bo, if somebody doesn't believe in Mashiach, that Mashiach is going to come. Take a look at the next few words in the Rambam. O misha eino mechakel libiyoso, That's what you want to underline here in the Rambam. Misha eino mechake libiyosov. He's now going to define who fits into the category of a kofer, who denies, in this case, one of the fundamentals of the belief of Yiddishkeit, which is the belief in Mashiach. And he has not only Mishen Omamin Bo, someone who doesn't believe in Mashiach, but he has O, and he has another category, Mishen Omechake Libiyosa. This is an amazing Rambam. And if you blink, you could miss it, but it's an amazing Rambam, because the Rambam is saying that if a person is not Mechake Libiyosa, then he's a kofer. Because even though in theory he says, he gives you lip service and he says, yeah, I believe the Mashiach is going to come, but he's not waiting for the Mashiach. Says the Rambam about such a person, lo bishar neviim bilvadu kofer. Not only is he denying the other neviim, all the other prophecies other than the great prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu, he's in denial of the neviim, because the neviim speak all over the place about how Mashiach is going to come. Ella, more than that, b'Torah u'b'Moshe Rabbeinu, he's a kofer even in the Torah itself and in the great Navi Moshe Rabbeinu. And why? So here the Rambam goes on to quote various psukim from the Torah that indicate that Mashiach will come. And elu dvar mefurashim b'Torahim, and these are explicit in the Torah. So forget about all that you see in the Nevi'im in Nach. What about the Torah itself? And we're up to the Rambam Af B'Parshas Bilam, if you see that Rambam. But let's get back to the Shari Orah for a minute, where we left off. And he says that according to the Rambam, Misha Eino Mamin Bo Osha Eino Mechakel Abiyoso. He's not waiting for the Mashiach. Is not only is he denying the other Nevi'im, but he's also denying the Torah and Moshe Rabbeinu as a Navi. Says the Brisker Rav, Mevur Lehedge, it's explicit in the Rambam that not only does a person have to believe in the Mashiach, but he's moreover obligated to wait for the Mashiach, anxiously for his arrival. And that's what we say, Afal Pishis Mameh, I don't think that it's enough that I believe that Mashiach is going to come, but he'll come whenever he comes. Yismamea, he's down the line. It may take 50 years, it may take millions of years, who knows? No. I commit myself, im kol zeh achakelo b'chol yom shiyavo. I am waiting on a daily basis. This is the day that he's going to come. V'ein kan kushe v'teretz. It's not that we asked the question and we gave an answer. Ella, but rather hadgoshas hatzfiyah, we are rather emphasizing how much, to what extent, we are anticipating Mashiach coming. And Divrei Pichein, he says, after quoting the Brisker Rav, these are words of grace, beautiful words. Then he says, in order to emphasize this point, Ayin Barambam lekamon b'perek yud beis, if you take a look at the next chapter in Hilchos Malachim, that's perek yud beis, the Rambam says, Omru chachomim ein bein ha'olam hazeh limos ha'mashiach, el ha'shibud malchus bilvad, v'chein lo yachshov akitzim v'gomer. The Rambam says that in the Yemos HaMashiach, we will be free of the yoke of all the nations, and don't be influenced by those who say, well, the Mashiach is supposed to come at a certain time, and that, if it's 10 years down the line or 50 years, don't even bother waiting for Mashiach until that year. Those are the Machashvei Kitzim, they think they know exactly when Mashiach is going to come. Ella, but rather, says Rambam, Yechake v'yamin b'chlal adavar k'moshe b'yarnu liel. Says the Rambam, look at the Rambam sequence. He puts the word Yechake before the Yamin. It's almost as if to say that independent of the Amunah that we have in Mashiach, there's also Yechake. We have to wait for Mashiach to come. And that's what the Shari Ora clarifies here and embellishes it. Hine Hosif, he added Chutz Me Amunah, that independent of the Amunah, we have another responsibility, Sheyechake. And the Rambam deliberately changed the order here, because if he would have written V'yamin V'yechake, you would think, okay, you should believe, and it's a good idea also to wait for Mashiach to come. No, the Rambam puts the word Yechake first, because that's the primary chiyuv. we shouldn't make any mistakes about what the nature and the scope of this emuna in Bias HaMashiach is, and think that okay, we lechakos is a dover nosaf. You know, that's an embellishment, an extension. No. It's really, really basic. But he says, "V'tzarach iyun gadol minolan zeh v'heichan kasuv zeh b'torah." Even if the Rambam is saying what the Brisker Rav says he's saying, and even if the Ani Mamet is saying what the Brisker Rav is saying, where does the Rambam see in the Torah itself that we have to be machaka, that we have to wait for the Mashiach? It's true that the Torah tells us, and Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah guarantees us, that at the end of days, when the Mashiach will come, Shav Hashem Eshpuscha, all this is true, but where does it say that you have to wait so anxiously? So if you take a look back in the Rambam that we started with, you remember we dropped off in the middle of Halacha Aleph, and he says, Af b'parshas Bilam Nemar, the Rambam gives another parsha in the Torah where there's a nevuah, a prophecy that anticipates Mashiach is going to come. Visham, and the Rambam says that in Parashas Bilam, Niba Bishnei HaMashifim. There's a prophecy for two Mashifim. Mashiach HaRishonu David, Shoshia Es Yisrael Miyad Sarehem. So the first Mashiach who came was David HaMelech himself, and he was able to protect us from our enemies. U'Mashiach HaAchron, and the ultimate Mashiach down the line, Sheyamod Mibonov, who's going to be from the descendants of David HaMelech, Shemoshiach Yisrael Miyad B'nei Esav, and he's going to protect the Jewish people and save them from the descendants of Esav. And where does the Rambam see this in Bilam? This double, the nevuah that has a double Mashiach. Shamhu Omer, because the pasuk says, Erenu velo ata, Ashurenu velo kara. And the Rambam paraphrases the Maimar Chazal. Chazal say, what's the difference between the first part of the pasuk and the second part of the pasuk? Erenu velo ata, Zed David, that's an allusion to David Amel. Ashurenu velo karov, Zed Melech HaMashiach. That's a reference to Melech HaMashiach. So if you take a look on the left column, the Shari Or again, as we saw before, asks, where does the Rambam know? How does the Rambam know that Mishainu Machaka Lebioso, if someone is not waiting and anticipating the coming, the arrival of Mashiach, then he's a kofer not only in other Nevi'im, but even in Moshe Rabbeinu? Tzarech Iyum Ehechem Avur B'Torah? How do we know through Moshe Rabbeinu that Tzarech Lachakos Lebioso? Again, that there's a belief that there will be a Mashiach, a divine guarantee, yes, but how do you know that part of the requirement of this Emunah is to be Mechakeh, that we have to wait in great anticipation? He says all the psukim that the Rambam invokes over here are all telling us and guaranteeing there will be a Mashiach, but where's Mechakeh Leviyoso? So he starts his discussion by quoting a very famous Gemara in Shabbos, the Gemara in Daf Lamed Aleph from Amud Beis, in the name of Rava, tells us about all the different questions that the Ribono Shel Olam is going to ask us when we get to the throne, you know, to the kingdom on high. You'll see this on page 3 if you take a look at the next page, number 23. Amar Rava b'shosh machnisim adam ledin. When they bring a person, they usher him for justice, for judgment. Omrim lo, the first question they ask him is nasata v'nasata b'emuna. You know, in all your business dealings, were you honest? And then kavata itim l'torah. Did you set aside time for Torah study? Asakta v'piriv, did you get married? And then tzipisa l'yeshua. Did you wait for the Yeshua? So we see that there is a concept of waiting for the Yeshua. It's not enough that we believe in the Yeshua, we believe in the ultimate Gula, but we have to wait for it. And getting back again to the previous page, so where do we see? Rashi says there in Masech the Shabbos on Tzipis L'Yeshua L'Divrei HaNevi'im, that the Nevi'im have already taught us, and according to the Rambam, it goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu, that we need to be mitzap el Yeshua, we have to be mechak el Yeshua, we have to wait and count the moment, so to speak. So he says the following. You could say that, look, if we see our generation and we see how much we need the Mashiach, you know, it's really desperate, so then we certainly want to be mitzap el Yeshua. But still, that doesn't give us a source in the Torah that one is obligated, required to be mitzapeh, that he has to be a mechakeh l'bias HaMashiach. So in the last paragraph, he gets back to this pasuk in Bilam, which the Rambam quotes. Do you have the place, Gershon? Are we on the same page?
Page
2.
18.
Right, number 19, actually. And it's the second paragraph, Vasher Yireh Bazeh. That's what we're up to.
Okay.
You have that?
Yes, sir.
So he goes back to the parasha in Bilam, and we saw that the pasuk starts with Erenu velo ato Ashurenu velo Karov, and the Rambam says that Ashurenu velo Karov is related to the last Mashiach, meaning the ultimate Mashiach. And he says, let's try to understand what does this word Ashurenu mean. Literally means I will see that the Mashiach will come. What does that mean? So to answer this question and get the exact precise meaning of the word Ashurenu, we fast forward to Trei Asara, towards the, you know, the last part of Tanakh in Sefer Hosea, and there in Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Zayin, there's a prophecy of Hosea to foretell what's going to happen if the Jews violate the Torah and reject the Torah, chas v'shalom. So it says there, Hashem compares himself to a namer al derech. He's like a leopard on the road, Ashur. Now, derech Ashur can be understood in two ways. One way to say derech Ashur is the name of a country, a location on the face of the earth. But why would God be interested in telling you that he's waiting like a leopard in a place called Ashur? So if you take a look at Rashi in Sefer Yoshua, Rashi writes that kol Ashur shebemikra, whenever you look in the Mikra, there's always going to be a dot in the shin. That's called a dagesh. And that's referring to a location. But here, in this particular pasuk, where it says kinamer al derech Ashur, there's no dot, there's no dagesh, who roughly means the soft shin. She'eno shem makom, says Rashi, it's not the name of a location on the face of the earth. Ella, but what does it rather mean? And here I want you to underline these two words. Arov ve'eshkod. Okay, arov is to ambush. And eshkod means on a continuous basis. Which means the following. Like, for example, if you have soldiers in an army and they are planning an ambush, so they hide in the thicket of the grass or the trees or whatever it is, and they look out, you know, with binoculars, you know, to see if the enemy is coming. Because as soon as the enemy comes, they're going to pounce upon him unbeknown, you know, it's by surprise. That's called an ambush, right? The eshkod. Now, when you're looking to see when is the adversary going to turn the corner, eshkod. Eshkod means constantly. You know, you're not going to blink for a second. You know, you don't want to miss that split second, because if he passes, then you lost the battle. You have to make sure that you get there first. So that's called arov. I will be in ambush. And the eshkod, and I won't let up for a minute. You know, my anticipation and my investigation to wait till he comes is constant. And then Rashi says, "Kmo Ashurenu v'lo Karov." Where do I find, says Rashi, a place where the word Ashur means Arov Eshkod? I find it in the pasuk in Bilam. That was the pasuk that the Rambam quoted as a reference and allusion to Bias HaMashiach. So Rashi is quite clear that the word Ashurenu means Miloshen Areva, meaning an ambush. Like an orev, the leopard is really an ambush, waiting for his prey to come along, and then he's going to pounce on his prey. And he doesn't let up for a minute in his scrutinizing when is the adversary, when is the prey going to come by. And therefore, ka'orev means if a person's like an ambush, it's like hamachake, he's like waiting, masayagia, v'yavar zesh tzarch lova. When is that person who hopefully will pass by, when is he going to come? Like during the war, for example, when they ambush another battalion, very often they wait till they get onto the bridge, and then as soon as the battalion gets on the bridge, they blow up the bridge. Or they pounce upon the enemy, start shooting, and so forth and so on. That's called an orev. Orev, this is not referring to a bird. There's a bird called an orev, but that's spelled differently. Here we're talking about an orev of an ambush. An eshkod. And when you're waiting in ambush, you know, you're staking out the place. You're not going to blink for a minute. You're constantly, constantly waiting because you can't miss that opportunity. So you're anxious to see when is that split second when the enemy is going to come by. That's where the leopard is waiting for his prey. And that, he says, is what it means, tzipisa liyeshua. Where you're waiting with, so to speak, bated breath for the Mashiach to come. And that, says Rashi, is what it means in the Pasuk Ashurenu v'lo karov. And Ashurenu is a reference to Mashiach. So we see that even with regard to the Mashiach, it's going to be arov v'eshkod. You know, I'm just waiting for the Mashiach to come. I don't want to miss that second. And I know he's going to come any second. That has to be our attitude towards waiting for Mashiach. And the Rambam holds that that's part of the Ikar Adas. You know, it's our commitment to Mashiach is a twofold commitment. It doesn't exhaust itself with the theoretical conceptual belief in the divine promise and guarantee that Mashiach will come, but it goes beyond that, and it includes waiting for Mashiach in great anticipation, with a lot of anxiety, and not to miss it for a minute, not to even blink for a second. You know, somebody once said that waiting for Mashiach should be like waiting online for the cashier. I don't know if you ever went to the supermarket. Your wife sends you to the supermarket, and you don't mind shopping, but what really gets you down is waiting at the cashier. You know, you can't wait. The guy before you, now they have self checkout, so it's a little bit easier. You know, but I don't know if you've ever felt that sense of, my gosh, when is this going to end already? You know, you're so impatient. I'll tell you a story. I knew a rabbi here. He passed away. His name was Rav Shalom Eisen. And he was from Meir Sha'arim. He lived in Batei Natan, all the way on the top floor. I remember him. And he was, amongst many other issues in halacha that he was a posek on. He used to wear, you know, the gold begadim in Meir Sha'arim with the stripes and a strimal. He was very famous for paskening on the Dalad Minim. He was an expert at looking at an esrig and someone telling you whether or not it's worth it for you to buy. So the biggest yeshiva that's located in that area near Batei Natan in Meir Sha'arim is the Mir Yeshiva. And the guys used to come from the Mir Yeshiva before Yontif. They used to make a deal with a seller on Dalad Minim that they would buy it only on condition that Rav Eisen would give the okay. Today already they have it on boxes, you know, you can get a closed box with a heksher on it. But those days you go in there, and it was a good excuse to get to speak to Rav Eisen for a minute. So the story is told that there were a bunch of yeshiva guys waiting online, because again, it was everybody wanted to get the final okay from Rav Eisen on the esrig. And the guys noticed that somebody online had an unbelievable esrog. It was absolutely stunning. There was no bletlef, no black spots, no nothing. And they didn't even know why he was waiting online. But he told them, Bechalzot, I want to make sure that Rav Eisen will give me the okay, give me the bracha. And he had spent 1,000 shekel at that time. That was an enormous amount of money because it was such a beautiful esrog. But again, it was all conditional on whether Rav Eisen would give him the okay. Now, just one more piece of information. That year in particular, Sukkot fell out on Shabbos, the first day of Sukkot. Like today we have the first day of Pesach on Shabbos, the first day of Sukkot. Anyway, he gets to the front of the line, and Rav Eisen, with his expert eye, looks at the esrog, and he says, I think it's a chaser, which means that something got rubbed off from the original, you know, natural state that it was in. And everybody was in shock, you know, because Rav Eisen saw something that no one else could see. He was such an expert. So immediately, the yeshiva guy who was interested in buying this esrog says to Rav Eisen, "But Rebbe, this year the first day of Sukkot is on Shabbos, so we don't take the esrog and lulav on Shabbos." And the rest of the Chag, the balance of the Chag, a chaser is still kosher. In other words, chaser is only possible on the first day of Yom Tov. But this year we don't take it anyway, so it's irrelevant. So Rav Eisen, when he heard these words, he stood up like this, and he said in Yiddish, I'll translate, he said, "Ich shmekta asofik apikursus. I smell here something that's almost apikursus." So as soon as he said that, the whole place, all the yeshiva guys crowded around, waiting for Rav Eisen to explain what he meant. He said the following: "You're going to spend 1,000 shekel on this esrog because you believe that the first day of Yom Tov is Shabbos and we won't take the esrog. How many days do we have until the first day of Yom Tov?" This was right after Yom Kippur. We have 4 days. He says, "Don't you believe that Mashiach is going to come in the next 4 days? And once Mashiach comes, we're going to take the esrog even on the first day of Shabbos. And even a chasa would be possible. And you're going to spend all that money because you don't believe that the Mashiach is going to come in the next 4 days?" It's an amazing story, because you see that the Gedolim, the greats in Yerushalayim, they wait for the Mashiach. You know, they say about the Chofetz Chaim that he had his bags packed under, you know, suitcase packed under his bed. They say that one time the Reb Chaim Volozhin heard a whole commotion out in front of his house. So immediately he ran to ask his wife, "Where's my yontif kapata, my hat and everything else?" So she said, "Why?" She said, "It seems Mashiach must have come. Yeah, he's so anxious to see the Mashiach. He thought there was a commotion outside. It must be the Mashiach is here." The Mashgiach in Lakewood Yeshiva back in the day was Rav Vachfogel, Rav Nosson Vachfogel. Did you ever hear the name?
Yes.
Yeah. So he was also constantly waiting for Mashiach. He had his bags packed, you know. This is called Tzipisa LeYeshua, but the Tzipia has to be Arov VeEshkod. It's got to be like an Arev, like an ambush and Vishkida. It's got to be Eshkod every minute. You'll see the Rashi here on the bottom left from Sefer Yoshua that we saw. If you take a look at the Smak at the very beginning, the Sefer Mitzvah's cut at the very beginning of his counting of the mitzvahs, and the first mitzvah, which you'll see here on page 3, number 24, he says, Leda, we have to know, Sha'oso Shabara Shamayim Va'aretz, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the heavens and the earth, V'hu Levado, he alone, Moshel, he controls, he has dominion over Lamala, the world's upstairs, and Lamata, the world's down here, B'dalet Ruchos Olam, in all directions. And that's the first pasuk in the Aseret HaDibros, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And he quotes the pasuk in Vaschanon, it says, V'yadata Ayom, V'ashevosel V'avecha, Ki Hashem Elokim, V'ashamay Mimal, V'alaretz Mitochas Ein Od. God is the God in the heavens, in the earth is no other God. And the Chazal say in the Psikdin Vaschanan, Einod Afil Bavir, even up in the airs and in the atmospheres, the stratospheres. Leda, and what does it mean that we have to know that God is one and God is the dominion and the creator? Pirish Lafukim and Afilosophim Shomim Shaolim Noig B'mazel Me Elov V'Elo Manhig. The Apikarsim, some of the philosophers who deny our religion and our fundamentals, they think that there's a mazel, there's a star up in the constellations that controls the world. But God is not around to control the world, Chas v'Shalom. And they claim that even Kriyas Yamsuf and Yitzis Mitzrayim, call it a flows, anything that took place, all the miraculous events were a result of the power of a mazel. We have to believe that everything they say is absolute fabrication, it's false. God is ruling the world, Beruach Piv, with his mouth. Who held Tzionim in Mitzrayim? It wasn't coincidence. The Ein Adam, he quotes the Gemara in Chulin, Ein Adam, no keif, etzba lamata, down in this world, no one has the ability to just simply straighten out his finger. Elim came achrizan olamal, unless it was a divine decree up in heaven. Shemar me'ashem mitzadei gover konanu. He says ubazet toli masha amru chachamim sholim lo li adam liachar misa. when he first comes to judgment, they ask him, Tzipisa liYeshua, did you wait for the Yeshua? Heichan ksiva mitzvah zos, where does it say in the Torah that you're commanded to wait for the Yeshua? Ela shmamina, it must be zetoli b'kashem sheyesh lanu lahamin sholtzionim mitzrayim, just as the pasuk says in Okei Hashem Elokecha shetzoisicha meretz mitzrayim, gam kein yesh lanu lahamin sheyotzienu v'kabtzenu mibein hagoyim v'shav v'kibetzcha mikol. That we have to believe that God who took us out of Mitzrayim promised us that he would gather us together amongst the nations of the world, all the diaspora, and the Kibetzcha Mikol will bring us back at the time of the Mashiach to Eretz Yisrael. So it's fascinating that the belief in the Mashiach according to Smak is included in the very first mitzvah in the Torah, the mitzvah to know God, and God promises us that to the same extent that he took us out of Mitzrayim, he will take us and gather us from all the nations of the world at the time of Mashiach. Now, when is Mashiach going to come? Well, nobody really knows the answer to the question, but there is a Gemara Rosh Hashanah that's embellished by the Ran in his drashos that seems to give us an actual date in the Hebrew calendar year when Mashiach is going to come. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah records Machlokas Tanoim between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua exactly when the world was created. Rabbi Eliezer, and we're very familiar with his opinion because of the Piyut Hayom Haras Olam that we recite after Tekios, is B'Tishrei Nivra Olam. It's in the month of Tishrei that God created the world. However, Rabbi Yeshua disagrees and he says B'Nisan Nivra Olam, that God created the world in the month of Nisan. And the Ran wants to know, is there any final decision? Does the Halacha accept one opinion over the other? And he says the following: Hare nechleku Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, im anu asidim ligal b'nisan. Let's go back to the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, and we'll see. This is about, I would say, if you count down from the top, Tanya, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The last word in the sixth line is b'nisan nigalu u'b'tishrei asidim ligal. That's according to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, B'nisan Nivra Olam, U'B'nisan Asidim Ligoel. Right at the end of this paragraph, B'nisan Asidim Ligoel. So when is the ultimate Geula going to take place? According to Rabbi Eliezer, it's going to take place in the month of Tishrei. Why? Because that's the month in which God created the world. According to Rabbi Yeshua, it's going to take place in Nisan because that's the month in which the first Geula took place. Basically, everybody agrees that there is a date for Geula, but is that date to be identified with Tishrei because that's when the world was created? Or should be identified with Nisan because God created the world in Nisan and he redeemed us from slavery at the first redemption in Nisan. So now we have a very fundamental machlokas. They all agree, it comes out, that at the time that the world was created, that's the time that the Geula will take place. But what's the final psak? Says the Ran, Nifsika halacha ki Rabbi Yeshua. Okay, we'll see how he proves this. That we accept the view halacha of Rabbi Yeshua, who claims that b'nisan nivra ha'olam, that the world was created actually in the month of Nisan. And he proves this from a Gemara that says, Chachmi Yisrael monim l'tkufa, that we start counting from the creation of the world in Nisan. Is if Nifsika Halacha Rabbi Yeshua, then we also accept Rabbi Yeshua's view that B'Nisan Anu Asidim Ligoel, that the ultimate Geula will take place in Nisan. And that's why the Paitan for the special Piyutim that we say anticipating Pesach says Ubo Nigalu, Ubo Asidim Ligoel. He says about the month of Nisan, that was the month of the past Geula, the original Geula, and it's also the date for the future Geula. And that's a reflection of the sheet of Rabbi Yeshua in Masech the Rosh Hashanah, that Benisa Nivra Olam, Benisa Noldu Olam, Benisa Nigalu, U Benisa Nasidim Li Goyal. So it's very fascinating, because if you take a look at the Medrash Tanchuma, the Medrash actually spells this out. It says, on the top of the left column, B'chamisha sar benisan nigzera gzera, etc., etc. B'chamisha sar benisan bo malach asharis levasro al Yitzchak, U'b'chamisha sar benisan nolad Yitzchak, B'chamisha sar benisan nigalu mimitzrayim, B'chamisha sar benisan asidim ligoel mishibut malchis. The Tanchuma is absolutely committed to that position which we saw taken by the Ran, that since we passing like Rabbi Yeshua in Rosh Hashanah, that we know that the ultimate Geula is going to take place on the 15th of Nisan. And we're going to try to analyze how this appears in the later poskim. But let's go back to page 1 for a minute without losing page 3. So it's very convenient that it's on two different pages, right? So if you take a look at number 6, the Netziv, in his classical work on Chumash called Amik Davar, has an introduction to the book of Shmos, which catches our eye. And in that introduction, he's bothered by the name of the book. He says that classically you'll see that the name of the book is called Sefer Shmos. However, the Ramban has a different name to the second book of the five books. He calls it Sefer Ha-Gu'ula, the book of redemption, because that's what we got redeemed from Mitzrayim. But then he quotes the Bahag, and the Bahag says that the book of Shmos has a different name. It's not called Shmos, and it's not called Sefer Ha-Gu'ula, it's called Sefer Sheni, the second of the five books. And he gives you the whole list of all five names: Sefer Breishis, Chumash Sheni, Sefer Kohanim, Chumash Hapkudim, Umishneh Torah. So the Netziv is very bothered here by this Bahag, because none of the four Sfarim, other than Shmos, are called by the number in which that's, you know, the sequence in which they appear. You don't say Breishis is Chumash Rishon. You, in each case, instead of giving it a number, we indicate its essence, you know, something about what that book is about. And it's fascinating that in the case of the second Sefer, it's called Chumash Sheni. And the word Sheni as the second book seems to indicate that it's like a nachschlepper to Sefer Breishis. It's schlepped along. You know, it doesn't have an identity of its own. And the source for the Bahag is really Gemara in Sota. The Gemara in Sota on Daf Lamed Vav says explicitly about the second Chumash, Kiderech. The Gemara says, I can't read the next word here, Kiderech She Chalukim, I think it should be Chalukim Bechumish Sheni. Okay, and it's very interesting. He's talking about the various parts of the Mishkan. In any event, he calls the second book of Moses Chumash Sheni, the second book, and that's exactly what we saw in the name of the Bahag. So why would it be called the second book? As if it's an extension, it's a tag on to the first book. But the answer is that if you take the Ramban's point of view, the Ramban says that the name of the second book is Sefer Geula because of Geulas Mitzrayim. Well, the second book, insofar as it's the Sefer Geula, will take us back to the creation of the world, because the ultimate concept of Geula includes not just the Geula from Mitzrayim, but also foreseeing the ultimate Geula at the time of the ultimate redemption. And all this connects us to Breishis, because the creation of the world has within it, so to speak, inherent in the creation is the Geula. And when I say Geula, I mean the ultimate Geula, not just the Geula from Mitzrayim. And that's what we saw here in the Drash Saran, in the Medrash Tanchuma, that on the 15th of Nisan, which according to Rabbi Yeshua is the day in which the world was created, that Benisa Nivra Olam, is then Benisan Asidim Yisrael Igael. So the Geula is connected, tied into the creation of the world. And therefore it makes sense that the second book, which is Shmos, as we call it, is really the book of the Geula, as the Ramban calls it, which is really Sefer Sheni, because it connects us back to the creation of the world itself. Now, if this be the case, if the 15th of Nisan is really the time of Geula, well, we know that before the Mashiach comes, Eliyahu HaNavi is going to show up. He's the harbinger of Geula, of the Mashiach. And if you take a look at number 13, there's Halekach V'Alibuv, which is a compilation it's a commentary on the Haggadah by Rabbi Avraham Shor, whose father, by the way, was the Rashi in Tor V'Das. Have you ever heard Rav Shor? This is Rav Gedalia's son, Rav Avram. If you're ever waiting for your wife on Coney Island Avenue, if she shops like my wife does, and you're looking for a base vendor to sit in, you know, and get some learning done while your wife is doing all that damage, you know, by spending all your money on, in all those clothing stores on Coney Island and Jay. So there's a little base mensch there, which is Rav Avram's Shar. He's there. He also has another base mensch on Avenue L in Flatbush. And he has a whole bunch of svarim called Alekach V'Alibuv. So on the Haggadah, he has a Haggadah Shel Pesach with his commentary. And he quotes one of the early Hasidic giants who says that Kol Haggadah Nichtav Al Yidei Eliyahu HaNavi. He says that the Haggadah actually was authored by Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi Bala Seder. And he actually shows up at the Seder. Now you may remember that right before Hallel, we open the door and we recite Shvok Chavos Chal Hagoyim. And Shvok Chavos Chal Hagoyim is really an invitation to Eliyahu HaNavi to pave the way, so to speak, for Mashiach, who's going to destroy the enemies. You know, he's going to be the one who battles against Amalek and destroys the greatest adversaries of Klal Yisrael. So it makes sense that Eliyahu HaNavi sort of is being invited to our Seder table. I mean, after all, he authored the Haggadah, and not only that, this is the night of the Geula. We want to welcome Eliyahu HaNavi and say Shalom Aleichem and tell him that now is the moment of Shvok Hamas Chalagoyim. You know, get rid of all these Bnei Esav that are trying to destroy us. And if you take a look on page 3, in the Sefer HaManhig, which is number 28, he says, Minog Bekama Makomos, he's seen a common custom, She'ein Nolim Achadorim, She Yishenu Behem B'Leil HaPesach, that normally we lock our doors and we go to sleep in a room, and for security purposes we want the bedroom door to be locked, but on Leil HaPesach, we don't have to lock our doors. Why? Ki benisan nigalu ubenisan anu lasidim ligal. Because just like the original Geula of Mitzrayim was in Nisan, the future Geula will be in Nisan. And the Torah describes the night of Pesach of Yitzias Mitzrayim as Leil Shimurim Hu Lashem, that this is the night where there's protection, with this divine protection over the Jewish people. And that's the night we got out of Mitzrayim. And he says, Laila HaMeshumar Uba Mishesh Yisimei Breishis. When did this night become designated as Leil Shimurim? It goes back to the original creation. Because as we said before, on the day of creation is the day of Geula. And that's the day that we have this divine protection. So Eliyahu HaNavi really doesn't have to knock on the door. He can just come in because we left it open. And he says the bidding is Yetze L'Krasso Mehera. As soon as the Haggadah, you know, we're up to the Shvok Hamas, we have to run immediately in order to greet the harbinger of Mashiach, Eliyahu HaNavi. And we believe this. So there's a great emunah in the act of welcoming Elio. And how great and how significant is that emunah, is that faith? Bishar zosa emunah, as a reward for this belief, nigoel, Be'ezer Hashem Yisproch, will be redeemed b'meir v'yameinu amen. So this is an amazing thing, that the minhag of welcoming Eliyahu HaNavi is really the most profound expression of emunah, faith, and that faith itself is going to bring about the coming of the Mashiach. So everything here on the Leil HaSeder connects us back to the creation, and inherent in the creation is the fact that ultimately there will be a Geula and Mashiach will come. He says that there's a smachlu dar, I can find even a source for this, or at least an allusion to this, in Yerushalmi, in Masechta Ksuvis, and he goes on and on to prove that the Amunah, the faith, is what is going to bring us the Geula. The Geula is going to come because of the faith. And when Moshe Rabbeinu takes the people out to recite Shira after the Kriyas Yamsuf, it says, Vayaminu Vashem Moshe Avdo, and immediately Oz Yashir Moshe Bnei Yisrael. And Oz Yashir is a reference to Mashiach, Oz, in the future tense. And in the Mechilta, they quote Rabbi Nechemia, who says, Kol makabel mitzvah aches be'emuna, the person is dedicated to a mitzvah with great faith. She deserves so much for one mitzvah. Imagine if you have one mitzvah, it's a very challenging mitzvah, and yet you're dedicated to believe, and you have that full belief, full faith, that itself is enough to bring about Shechina, that the Shechina will come. And what is that kind of faith? So we said before that, as we started this, that the declaration of faith on imam is that b'chol yom achakelo. It's not enough just to give lip service, oh, I believe that Mashiach will come down the line, but I know that he's going to come any minute, and I anticipate his coming any minute. And that has to be our attitude, especially in Nisan and especially on Leil HaPesach, because that's the time that Mashiach is going to come. We go out and we expect to be able to greet Eliyahu HaNavi on this night. Wow, it's pretty heavy. And he says the following. The Aruch HaShulchan, when he speaks about the mitzvah of what's called Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim on a daily basis, both by day and by night, we have to remember Mitzrayim, Yetzias Mitzrayim, Ani Hashem Asher Tzaisicha Meretz Mitzrayim, at the end of the third parash of Kriyat Shema. He says, Nira Li, the Inyan Kain who Dischias Yitzis Mitzrayim, Kosva Torah Laman, Tizkas Yom Tzeiskom Eretz Mitzrayim, Kol Yimei Chayecha, that we have to remember Mitzrayim all the days of our life. And why does it say Kol Yimei Chayecha? That's coming to include even the nights, that there's a separate mitzvah, not only to remember Yitzis Mitzrayim by day, but also by night. That's at the end of the first parak of Brachas. Hare Tzivsa Torah Mefurash, the Torah explicitly commands us, Lahazki B'chol Yom, that we should remember Yetzias Mitzrayim on a daily basis. And that's even greater than Zechiras HaMolech, because in the case of Zechiras HaMolech, how many times do we have to remember HaMolech?
Once
a year. Here we have a twice daily mitzvah to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the Aruch HaShulchan is wondering about this. Why is this so? And he says the following. He says, "Anu mitzapim." What we are anticipating is l'tachlisenu b'chodesh Nisan, to our ultimate culmination during the month of Nisan of the Geula. And therefore, we have to, on a daily basis, remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, because Yetzias Mitzrayim coincides with the ultimate Geula, not just with the Geula that took place from Mitzrayim. And therefore, says the Aruch HaShulchan, after we complete the third of the fourth Kosos, then we go out and we recite Shvoch HaMosk, we open the door, and we demonstrate that this night is a Leil Shimurim, we're not afraid to open the door, and we have such faith that Mashiach is going to come. He says, B'schus Emunah Zu Yavi Mashiach. That Emunah itself is going to bring Mashiach. Yishpo Chamaso Ala Bavliim Shechorba Beis HaMikdash. He'll destroy the enemies who were responsible for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. V'al Ki Kodem Bias HaMashiach Yovel Yo. Before Mashiach will come, Elio will come. Hinei Anochi Shalech Lachem Elio Anavi Lifnei Yom HaGadol. Is therefore the minig is that we set up a special kos in the middle of the table. We call it the Koshel Elio, and that was the minig apparently in Poland back in the time of the Aruch HaShulchan. And some say that we should stand and say Baruch Haba. We should welcome Eliyahu HaNavi. Baruch Haba. Vakol, and all of these minhagim are for one goal, and that is lechizuk emuna, to give us a profound demonstration or experience of emuna, of faith, because we have accepted the position of Rabbi Yeshua in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah that benisan nigalu, benisan asidim li goyal. That the ultimate Geula will take place in the month of Geula. And therefore, when we finish the Seder, we're about to start the second half of Halal Alanu, Kilshim Chatein Kavod Anu, Misorim, Shiitein Kavod, Lishmo Agol Yisbarach. We have a tremendous, intense desire that's aroused on this night of Pesach to see that we will be able to see the Shema HaGadol, you know, as long as HaMolek is around, the Pasuk says in Bishalach, God's name is incomplete. All we have now is the Yud K, but we're missing the Vav K. And the night of Pesach is a special skula, a special inherent power, so to speak, that we can bring the completion of the name of God by adding the Vav K. And the Mashiach is going to come to accomplish that goal. We're going to destroy Amalek, and then with the ultimate Geula, we'll have the full fledged Avodas Hashem Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. In fact, I saw one of the Sfarim that the month of Nisan, every month has its own verse in the Tanakh, and the verse for the month of Nisan is Yismechu Hashamayim V'Sogel Haaretz. Now, if you write that pasuk out, Yismechu Hashemayim V'Sogel Haaretz, you'll see that if you take the first letter of each of these four words, it forms the name of God, Yud Kei Vav Kei. And Yismechu Hashemayim means that up in heaven they're very happy because they recognize God and everything is crystal clear. There's no evil. There's no denial. But we haven't yet gotten to V'Sogel Haaretz because all we have is the Yud Hei. The first two letters of God's name, which is Yismechu Hashamayim, but the V'Sogel Haaretz, that down here in this earth we should achieve that ultimate revelation of God, and when the name of God will be complete and the destruction of Amalek will be complete, that's V'Sogel Haaretz. That's that we haven't gotten to. We haven't yet arrived at that particular juncture in history. And it's very interesting that the Haggadah adds a whole statement here about the significance of remembering Mitzrayim. Omer Abulazim and Azariah is number 37, and he waited for the Drasha Ben Zoma, who says that you have to remember Yitzis Mitzrayim not only during the day, but even at night. Kol Yimei Chayecha L'Rabbas HaLeilos. And all this is because the Laila of Zechiras Mitzrayim has inherent in it the Laila of Bias HaMashiach. That's the ultimate Geula. Even according to Chachamim, who say Yimei Chayech Olam Hazeh, Kol Yimei Chayech Lavi L'mos HaMashiach, even their opinion would seem to reflect the fact that this Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim is connected to Yimos HaMashiach. That even after the Mashiach comes, and you would think at that point, you know, we don't need this, but no, we still need, because we want to connect Yitzias Mitzrayim and that Geula with Mashiach. Now, if we go back to the Haggadah Shel Pesach, which you'll see here, number 14 on page 1, at the end of Dayenu, we say Alachas Kama Kama. Tova chfula umechupeles la makom, meaning God olenu on us. We have a double, our sense of gratitude is a double sense of gratitude. What's the tova chfula? And the answer is, according to the Nesivus, who wrote a Pirush on Haggadah called the Maisa Nisim, which you'll see here in number 34, he says, what's this Tova Kfula Mechupeles? Let's explain it. That called Varm Shanasu Begulus Mitzrayim, anything that took place, all the marvelous miracles that took place at the time of the redemption of Egypt, Ein Poel Dimyon, Shizkayim, Bekefel HaGeula, Hasidah Lavo. So the Kefel here is an allusion to the ultimate Geula and all the great things that took place. At the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, they will be even greater at the time of the ultimate Geula. And the Nesivus continues, and he says, "V'nira dekfar kasafti liel shebeis kosos arishonos heim keneged ha'otzav atzola." The first set of two kosos before we get to Hallel, I mean Birkas Hamazon and Hallel, those correspond to the old Geula, the Geula miMitzrayim. But he says, "Acha tiknu od shtei kosos." There are another two cups of wine. Heim keneged Geula shel lekicha, the ultimate Geula, which is called lekicha. Shal yidei zehim geulos hasidos. This is the future Geula. Lechein tiknu gamkin lomar chatzi halasheni. It's interesting. We recite half the first half of Hallel on the first two cups of wine. And we leave the second half of Hallel for the second set of two cups, specifically for the third cup of wine. And why is that? Because the first two cups correspond to the Geula miMitzrayim. But the second set of two cups, that corresponds to the Geula Sida, the ultimate Geula, and we begin the Hallel with the last cup of wine by saying Lo Lanu, and that is also an allusion to the ultimate Geula. That's why in Dayenu we have to speak about all the great things that God brought about for us, and we sing our song of praise, but we also have to say Tova Kfula Umechupeles to reflect on the fact that there will be ultimately even a greater Geula, and we'll have to thank Hashem for that greater Geula. And on this night, which is the night of Geula, the 15th of Nisan, inherent in this night is the ultimate Geula Asida. We should be zochem mirtz Hashem to that Geula b'meirav yameinu, amen. So we didn't finish, but we'll make a note that we got up to number 38, which is on the bottom here on the right side. And as we say, Od Chazon LaMoed, I don't know if we get a chance to finish this, because this is an aspect of the Haggadah, you know, that we start with Hashta and Lashon HaBa V'Yared Yisrael, we complete with Lashon HaBa V'Yushalayim. This is all a reference to the ultimate Geula, so we shouldn't lose focus of that dimension, the two cups and then the next two cups, opening up the door for Elio and Shvok HaMoscha, and Elio is the harbinger of Mashiach, and this means Mechakelo. Mechakelo means it's not enough that you believe in the Mashiach, but it's like we're anticipating that Mashiach should come any minute. Alright, Yishka. Thank you very much.